Welcome to Authors on the Air. I'm your host, Pam Stack. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. Most of you know that I was born and raised in Miami. Say what you will about other cities and other states around the country, but if any of you have ever read the Miami Herald and you are writers, you know that you have a plethora of story ideas for any fiction or nonfiction book that you want. One of my favorite columnists was a guy named Dave Barry. He wrote a column and was friends with the editor of Tropic Magazine, which is like an insert to the Sunday paper, where they started something called the Tropic Hunt. It was a giant puzzle played out in one part of Miami, and it could have been in Coral Gables, Coconut Grove, someplace. They always picked a location. Huge, huge place with live puzzle pieces everywhere. The man behind the Pulitzer Prize-winning humor column and one of the brains or brainiacs or crazy people behind the Tropic Hunt, which still goes on, is Dave Barry, and he's with me today. Welcome to Authors on the Air, Dave.
Thanks, Pam. It's good to be here.
You know, I didn't realize that you had written over 30 books. Is that right?
Yeah, quite a bit more than 30, but I want to stress that these are short books, and a lot of them contain zero information whatsoever, involve no research.
Right,
so
right. And they're lies, too. Many are lies. Yeah.
Full of lies.
Many,
yeah, in fact, these books have done more harm than good, let's be honest.
There you go.
Whereas other people are out there writing books to make people smarter and better people. I think my books make people stupider and worse people.
I don't know about that, but not the most recent one.
This is the rare exception. Where this is a kind of almost, I hate to say self-help, but it's a helpful book.
Yes. It's a very contemplative book. And for those of you who don't are not aware, Lucy is Dave's dog. And Lucy's an older gal, just like Dave and I are now. And so we appreciate the lessons that our pets have taught us. What motivated you to write this book, Dave?
My editor at Simon & Schuster, a woman named Priscilla Payton, who's a really good editor,
mm-hmm.
she and I were talking about what I should write about. And she suggested dogs. And the thing is, I had written a lot of columns over the years about dogs because I'm a dog
yes.
guy. I've had dogs. And almost all these columns, the point is the same, which is dogs are not that bright. And in the, you know, in sort of the classic, you know, SAT score way, they are not that bright. This is why we don't let dogs fly our airplanes, for example. But when I got to thinking about, okay, I'll write a book about dogs, but I'm not going to just say they're stupid, because I kind of respect them. And the real impetus was last year I turned 70. And my dog, Lucy.
No, you didn't. Are you telling me a lie?
No,
not really.
That's true. I know, I really
did.
Eventually, that's what happens. If you don't die, you really, that will happen to you.
The lie becomes the truth then, right? Or
yeah.
whatever. Jeez.
So anyway, I turned 70, and at the same time, Lucy, my dog, who I've had a long time, turned 10, which is 70 in dog years. So
right.
I was, you know, getting contemplative, and I thought, you know, I'm getting old, Lucy's getting old, you know. And yet, she seems to handle it way, way better than I do. Because there's things that I really didn't like about myself as I aged. I'm crankier. I don't have as much fun. I'm not as spontaneous. You know, there's a lot of stuff. And
yeah.
And Lucy doesn't seem to have any of these problems. You know, she likes to do the same things she did when she was a puppy. Things that make her happy. She still likes to do them. She still does them. So the idea behind the book was that I would observe what it is Lucy does that makes her happy and do those things too, except for drinking from the toilet. Not that I, you know, have tried it. I just don't think
anybody
should do
it. Tongue baths might be another thing. I want you to know when you said dogs are stupid, all five of my cats high-fived me. So,
you're a cat person, eh?
I'm actually an animal person. I just happen to have cats now.
Well,
go ahead.
You have five cats. Do you have any dogs? Have you ever had a dog?
I had dogs when I was growing up. I did. And I don't know if, you know, people tell me their dogs are smart. And I just think, well, I've taught my cats to sit. They know their body parts. They know to roll over. They know their names. They know dinner.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
What else do you need for your pet to do but give you unconditional
exactly.
love? And, you know,
yeah,
I'm pretty impressed.
Even if your dog is really smart, you're not going to let it do your taxes.
Really?
What you want your dog
I don't
to do
want
is...
me to. I don't want to do my taxes, so I'm certainly
not going to let
a cat or a dog do it. Hey,
I would let a dog do my taxes before I would let me do my taxes.
There you go. See? So, but there are other things you do besides writing books and doing your, are you still writing your column?
No, I write occasionally for the Miami Herald still. And
right.
Every year I write this big long year in review thing, but mostly I write books these days.
And are you still part of the Rock Bottom Remainders?
Yes, I am. We are the world's worst all-author rock band.
There you are.
We tried to break up, but we're such a terrible band, we can't even break up correctly. So,
but you sing really loudly, though, so nobody knows.
We are loud. We're a loud band. I'm not saying we're not a loud band. I'm just saying we're not a good band. We play our genre. Roy Blunt Jr. was one of our members, a hilarious author.
Right.
And
he
describes our genre as hard listening music. and that is what we play. But we
Doesn't
Heather
Graham
again.
Jump in with you sometimes once in a while, too?
Pretty much every author you ever heard of has jumped in.
Has been in there, yeah.
The regular members of the band are Stephen King, Amy Tan, Scott Darrow, Mitch Albom, Greg Iles, Ridley Pearson, Roy Blunt Jr., James McBride, me. Sometimes a few other people, but we're actually going to play again in May in Minneapolis. There's this thing, a big literary festival they're holding called Wordplay. And we're going to be there. I was going to say by popular demand, but I don't think the populace has ever actually demanded to hear this band. it's more like because we want to do it.
I think that's great.
It is great, and it's one of the things I talk about in the book is that when you get older, you start to think that you shouldn't do things because they're silly or they're beneath you or they're immature. And I'm saying resist that impulse. I mean, like my dog Lucy still does exactly the same things that she likes to do.
Right.
That she did when she was a puppy. She likes to run after the ball still. She doesn't say, I'm too old to run after the ball. I want to run after the ball.
Right.
It's fun for her. So she keeps doing that, and that's my argument is, you know, we should do the same. But, you know, keep having fun. Why not? Why else are you here?
Exactly. So you still are doing the band. You're writing books, and I want folks to understand you write not only your year-end roundup, which is always wonderful, but you write fiction, nonfiction, and for young adult, and some children's books too. You kind of are all over the place with your writing. So I think that's great. And you're enjoying it still, right?
Yeah. I mean, I love to write. It's corny to say that, you know, it's a wonderful thing when you get to do what you like to do and get paid for it.
Absolutely.
But I love to write. And I can't imagine stopping. I can't imagine, like, retiring from it. I don't even know how you would retire from it. You know,
I don't think you can.
It's such a habit to when you see something that you want to write about it. And it's fun. So why should I stop it? Don't keep telling me to stop it, Jane.
I'm not going to tell you. I swear, Dave, I've never lied to you before. So here's my question. Have you ever seen Game of Thrones?
Yeah. I've seen, I'm not like a person who keeps up with every episode, every season, but I was mm-hmm. up pretty close to caught up, I think, last season. I think any show that has naked people and dragons is, you know, that's
I don't know why I ask you that because I don't have a TV, so I've never seen it. I've never read one of the books.
You don't
but I just
have
thought
a TV.
I'd ask
you. What kind of American are you?
I'm telling you, it's horrible. This is the God's honest truth. When reality shows became real popular, I've only had two televisions in my life, and I already told you how old I am. So the first one was a 12-inch black and white that I kept till I was 35. And my friend was at my house and said, you have to go and buy a real TV. And so remember the Birdines outlet that used to be on US1, past Dayland?
Yes, I do. Yes, I went
over there and got a scratch and dent color TV that was like a 24-inch, you know, with the big tube out the back. So about when reality shows really were at the height of their popularity, I pulled it out of the wall and threw it out in my backyard, and I never had one again. So
well,
now
you know,
I read,
Pam, I don't,
I read
I don't
400 books a
you can,
year, but
you,
I know I can
admire
stream.
That. I think that's great. But if you don't like what's on the television, you could change the channel, or even, this is going to sound crazy, turn off the television.
Yeah, but see, now
in your
I'm addicted to books, which is why I wanted to talk to you, because
I'm
got your book
that.
And I loved it. So I read about 400 books a year. And because I now live in Southwest Florida versus Southeast Florida, when friends want to come over, I've made my second bedroom into a library. So there's books everywhere. There's books everywhere in my house. And I say, sorry, I took out the bed and made a library, but there's a really nice Motel 6 down the street or whatever, you know. So
and you can point out that it has television.
It has a television, whereas I don't. So
okay, let me
I
ask you this.
Okay.
Now, wait. Do you have the internet?
I am a digital media company. So, yes, I'm actually talking to you via the internet.
I'm just making sure.
And I'm a copious
so
reader
you have
of all things. I
you,
read
you have
everything
electricity,
on the
you have lights, flush toilets,
yes.
The whole bit. Everything's
yes,
by a television.
I mean,
okay.
Everything but a TV. I know people are stunned by that. And and I know there's good television out there now, and I know there are a lot of selections. So even that to me is mind-boggling. Now I don't want to know because I can't choose from 700 shows on at one time. It's scary.
Yeah, actually,
it's like going to the Kia car dealership and trying to pick a car when the lot is 10 acres wide, you know, or long or
you.
Big.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Like I do have a television, and people are always telling me about shows they watch on Netflix because there are a lot of choices on Amazon and Netflix and all. And so I'm trying to keep up with, and I can't. So I envy you a little bit because you don't have missing out anxiety, fear of missing out.
I don't. I mean, the only thing is I get lost in social media conversations when someone says, "Didn't that show rock last night?" And I'm like, or Walking Dead or something like that. I don't know what they're talking about. I'll have to look on YouTube. And, you know, as a matter of fact, that's what I was looking at. Well, I asked you about Game of Thrones. I was just looking at YouTube to find a scene that I wanted to see. I had to look at Jason Momoa, like everybody else, every other woman in the country. But I want to backtrack and go back to you because I want to know how you and Gene Weingartner started the hunt, the Tropic Hunt.
Okay. Well, it basically wasn't even really the original idea. Was there was a guy named Dave Harris who lived in South Miami, Kendall. And he was connected with the temple there, and he came up with this idea as a fundraiser for the temple. And you would pay money, and you would go, and they would give you a map, and you would drive all over Kendall, solving these very clever puzzles. And if you had to solve one before you knew where to go for the next one. And we thought that was cool. We went on that, and we thought, wouldn't it be great if we could do that for the whole city of Miami? And so we put on a hunt. Not having any idea what we were doing, what we were getting into. But we had the hunt. The one you went on, the first one, it was amazing we didn't kill anybody because we had people driving around Miami. It's not safe to drive around Miami when you're driving
on a Sunday,
slowly.
Normally. Right.
And we had people racing around Miami. And we lied and said, you don't have to drive fast to win. And that was not true. And the guy won, went like 180 miles an hour. So we had to modify the hunt so that there was no driving involved. And now it's all on foot. And it was a huge success. And it went on for 20 or more years. And then the Herald basically ran out of steam. And we did it for a while, like about almost 10 years in Washington. The Washington Post sponsored it.
Uh-huh.
And then they stopped. And now it's, I think, going to come back again to Miami this fall. We're talking about it anyway. And it's amazing to me when we do it, there's people who just come up. I was on the first hunt and or they'll say, this 40-year-old guy with kids will say, I was on a hunt when I was five and now I've got my own kid. You know, so people really love it.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of fun. It's very confusing for me. I couldn't figure out one puzzle. Yeah, I couldn't figure out one thing, but just watching the clues, because you had people or, you know, like giant clocks in the middle of the road, just all kinds of really strange things. And so I just thought, that's a really twisted person who thought of this. And I never tried to solve any of the things because that's not the way I'm, you know, I don't have the bandwidth for that, Dave. But it was a lot of fun. And I think I remember, like, whoever the winner was got, like, some really cheesy prize. It wasn't anything big, right?
No, you're wrong. The first hunt, the winner won a trip to Paris.
No.
Yeah, the prizes got cheesier later.
Oh, okay.
as the Herald was trying to save money, but no. And it was all depends on who we get as sponsors. But no, the first one, that was the trip. I mean, yeah, a trip to Paris.
But didn't you have, it was a team that had played, you know, I remember there was a team of players. And how they figured it out, and when you tried to explain it, like, in the paper the next day, I was like, that makes no sense to me. My brain isn't wired like that.
It is complicated. But people get into it, and even the idea is, we try to design it so even if you don't win it, you have fun. But most people do. That's why they come back.
Yeah.
Because most people don't win, but they keep coming back.
I know. You have, like, thousands of people trying to figure out this puzzle.
So
it's a lot of fun, though. Where are you touring for your book, Dave?
I am. I'm going all over the United States of America. My theory about book tours is that the publisher decides that your book will be worth more if you're dead, you know, because they say, well, he's not going to write anymore. So they say,
I'm going
to
put you on a plane.
It's like, and they say, you're not going to get any sleep for 3 weeks. You're not going to get much to eat. You're just going to keep moving around talking about your book.
There you go. They're going to wear you out. Well,
I'm in New York now, but I'll be in Boston and Washington and Philadelphia and Baltimore, then L.A., San Francisco, Seattle, Denver.
Wow.
Boulder. I'm all over.
So we can find your tour on your website at daveberry.com?
Yeah. I think my schedule is there. I'm at bookstores every night, like tonight. I don't know if when people are listening to this, but tonight is, I think, Wednesday. And I'm in New York City, and I'll be at the Barnes & Noble at 7 o'clock.
Fun. So, parting words of wisdom for listeners who are dog people who are aging with their dogs.
Well, pay attention to your dog, and you'll note your dog is paying attention to you, and then start paying attention to the people that you love, the people around you, your family and your friends. Pay more attention to them than to your phone, or if you have a television, not that you should, but pay more attention to the people in your life than to the TV, the phone, and all this other extraneous crap that when your life is all over, you'll not want to have spent more time watching television or watching your phone.
This is true. Or watching your iPhone. That's true. And speaking of, I have the cheapest phone that I can buy.
Now, of course you do. Of course you do.
Because
I'm surprised
a phone,
you have flush toilets, Pam.
I swear to God, I have a very modern apartment. It's beautiful. You know, it's big and spacious for me and the cats. But technology, to me, gives me a headache, Dave. And but I do use the internet to book my flights when I go to writer conferences. So, and I go to those a lot.
Yeah.
It's just that I don't want to be attached at the hip to my phone. So if it rings, I'm happy. I don't care if someone wants to send me a text, but I don't want to go searching on my phone for anything. I don't understand how people read a book on their phone.
I've done it, but it's not the right way. I've done it only when, like, I had no option. I was standing in a line somewhere, but yeah, books are better.
Books are better. Either by your Kindle or in and paper.
Also,
so
if a cockroach walks across your desk, you can kill it with a book, and you really don't want to do that with a phone.
Well, this is true, but I'd not get the book dirty. I'd probably hit it with my phone, to be honest. So the book is called Lessons from Lucy. You can get it at any brick-and-mortar store. You can order online. Lessons from Lucy is Dave's 30-somethingth book, and I'm sure we're going to see and hear from you again with another one maybe at the end of the year, beginning of next year? Or are you already writing it?
I'll have to get off this book tour before I can write one.
Well, have fun, Dave Barry, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and author, funny man, musician from Rock Bottom Remainders. If you ever have a chance to see them, and if you go to up to Minneapolis, I have friends up there, I'm going to make sure they go and see you, because that'll be a ton of fun. Thanks for being with me, Dave.
Dan, thanks for having me on. It is fun. It was fun.
Just a really cool conversation. I appreciate it. Have fun on your book tour. Stay safe. Don't touch any cockroaches. Stay away from bugs. And don't watch the TV.
Okay. You got it. I'll write it all down.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great book tour. And thanks for being with me. Bye-bye.
You bet. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Sure thing. And that's my show, folks. I'm so glad you were with me. I hope you'll stay tuned for more. Thanks for being here, and thank you, Mom and Dad. Bye.